Hello? Hello? Is there anybody there? Hello? Am I on the air? Hi there, this is Lois Richter. And Corky's going to be using that mic right there. And about that far away from you. Great. And let me see you over there. Okay, so hello there. This is Lois. You are listening to KDRT LP 95.7 in Davis, California. Oh, the show's called That's Life. And usually I interview people. Sometimes I just play music. And today, I've got bats. I did not know I was allergic to bats until Corky very kindly walked in with a little cage full of bats, and I suddenly couldn't breathe. Mm. This is bizarre. I mean, I knew I was allergic to peppers, but bats?
Well, they get pretty smelly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I won't say
it's an allergy, but I'm just...
A reaction.
A reaction, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The little Mexican free tails that live around here, the ones that we see the most, they produce an incredible amount of guano, mm-hmm. bat droppings, which are lovely for your garden,
mm-hmm.
but they do get pretty odoriferous.
Okay. Let's back up, start again.
You bet.
I have a guest today, and she's going to talk about bats. Would you introduce yourself, ma'am?
Absolutely. My name is Corky. Some people call me the Bat Lady, and I live here in Davis. Do wildlife rescue with the bats, many educational programs, and I work for the Yolo Basin Foundation, where we run about 25 tours out at the Yolo Bypass to watch the bats and learn about them.
So, Corky was on my show, I guess it was last year or the year before, something like that.
Something like that.
And we learned a little bit about bats, and I think the thing that amazed me most is that bats live in a 25 long, 1 inch wide crevice underneath the freeway.
They
not quite 25 inches long. 25. What was it? It was some huge number. Anyway.
Oh, you're talking about the depth of the crevices.
How long?
But the bridge is 3 miles.
3 miles.
Yeah,
three miles.
The causeway.
So it was a 2 mile long, inch wide crevice.
Yeah, they pack in there. There's 16 expansion joints under that causeway, and in some areas, they're just, you know,
so that
huge
numbers. Means, you know, dozens, hundreds,
hundreds of thousands,
hundreds of.
Yeah.
Thousands?
The estimate is 250,000. Yeah, 250,000 bug-eating friends.
All right, and how big are
how big are they?
If I were looking at my hand and trying to figure out. Now, if that is in an inch-wide crevice, it can't be a very big critter.
No, the critter itself is smaller than your thumb.
Smaller than your thumb. And then with its wings all folded up and
yeah, when it's okay. Hanging there in those expansion joints. But when it puts its wings out, its wings are about 11 inches.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And most of the adults under there are females in the summertime. We do have some males that will form small groupings as well, but the females love the heat of the valley.
Hmm.
And so they migrate here. This is a destination, their summer home.
Is their summer home? Where is their winter home?
We don't know for sure. There certainly are more bats that move to the coast in the wintertime, spread themselves out,
mm-hmm.
but they're not tagged, so we don't know for sure if it's the same individuals.
Okay. So how do you even know that they're there?
People notice them in their buildings usually. And so we get more phone calls about, suddenly I have a whole lot of bats living in my attic or something of that sort.
Oh, what? In the attic?
In the attic or under the eaves or behind the wall panels. And they just, this species has adapted to us.
So I thought that they liked little crevices. What are they doing in an attic? That's a huge, big old cavern.
It is. It's like a cave.
Oh.
And historically, before there were so many humans uh-huh. around, they would have lived in caves and other crevices.
Uh-huh.
But we've built stuff that this species kind of likes.
It mocks the, mm-hmm. the natural crevices.
It does. And it's nice and warm in an attic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I remember years ago, I got here in 68, so it's probably been mid-70s, early 80s, sometime like that, that there was an apartment building on First Street between about B and C, or maybe C and D. And the siding of it was a wood shingled siding, a vertical wood shingle siding. They had bats living in there. Was that the same kind of bat?
I'm sure it was. I wasn't here at that time, but I would imagine, just because that's the species
the most
that
common
does that.
That's here.
We have about a dozen species, but they behave differently depending on the type. Just like birds, different species of birds behave in different ways.
Right.
And the Mexican free-tailed bats are the ones that they like those. I'm going to guess it even was east-facing.
It was south-facing.
Oh, south is good, too.
There was some trees, so in the summertime it had shade, but they were deciduous, so in the wintertime it was warm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That would be a nice spot.
It is, and that's the kind of spot if you want to put a bat house up look for.
You can buy bat houses?
Oh, yes, you can buy them and you can make them.
Okay.
We even do a workshop in the summertime out at the Yolo Basin.
Do you know when that's going to be coming up?
It'll be in August.
How do people find out about those kinds of workshops and things?
Sure. Yolo Basin's website is yolobasin.org.
Uh-huh.
And we also have a Facebook page, and we tweet periodically.
Tweet,
yes. And we post the different events. May 1st will be when we will post all of the dates for the bat activities.
All right. May Day, bats
yes,
are coming, May
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Our tours, we have an event that we do with Soodworks. We call it Bats and Brew. That's a fun summer activity.
What?
Yes.
What do you do at, I mean,
Soodworks? Not at Soodworks. They come to the Yolo Basin.
So you get people soused and then teach them about bats?
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't get too soused. It's a it's a beer tasting.
A beer tasting.
Yes.
Oh, a beer tasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So Soodworks brings a variety of their brews.
What do brews have to do with bats? It just
Beer is made from hops.
Hops, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
and
a plant.
Is a plant.
Yeah.
And insects, of course, eat plants, including hops. And the
insect
that the hops farmers struggle with is a moth, whose larvae eat their leaves.
Okay.
And bats, the bats eat moths.
Got it.
Yes. Absolutely.
You had to struggle a long time to get that one, didn't
They've
you?
They've been saving your hops for, infinity, right?
Yeah. As long as hops have been...
Bats have been around between 55 and 60 million years. I don't know how long hops has been around.
People haven't been around that long.
We have not.
Yeah. But bats are mammals, and people are mammals, so
absolutely.
Don't we have a common ancestor, maybe?
We probably do.
I'm a half bat. No, I don't think so.
Well, you're closer to a rodent.
I am not.
Than a bat is.
Bunny. Okay, bunnies are rodents. I could
well,
be a bunny.
Bunnies are lagomorphs, so they're kind of closer to rodents than we are.
Yeah, I could be a bunny.
Bunnies are cute. Bats are closer to your dogs and cats.
Uh-huh. Even though people call them flying mice.
Absolutely. Because
the German for bat is Fledermaus.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. And the French, I don't remember how to say it, but it's bald mouse. Mm-hmm. Because some bats have such short fur.
That people didn't get close enough to notice the fur.
That's my guess.
Yeah. So I want to get back to this size thing. So if the bat in the crevice is the size of my thumb, and the bat out flying around is 11 inches wide, those wings must be awfully thin.
They are. They're almost paper thin. They remind me a lot of a latex glove.
Really?
Or a balloon. You know, they're very, very thin, very, very stretchy.
Uh-huh.
They don't tear easily.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they can if something like a cat claw gets it. But
a hawk.
Well, a hawk will probably eat it. The cat will play with it. So I don't usually see hawk-caught bats, but I see a lot of cat-caught bats.
Oh, okay. So it's got this, so it folds up into really little and then stretches out into really big.
Think of an umbrella.
Think of an umbrella. Okay, uh-huh. So what is the wing made of? Is it like hard leather or is it like
skin?
Skin?
It is skin. It's just like our skin.
Like the webbings between your fingers?
Mm-hmm, but much thinner.
Uh-huh. And much bigger.
And their bones are the same as our hands. It's just that their bones are elongated. So if you were to look at a bat skeleton, if you looked at the wing, it has the same joints It has the same bones. It has the carpals. It has the phalanges, the whole bit.
So which part is the...
The skin is between the fingers.
Okay.
And then the...
So is the wrist folding
the
to...
wrist folds and the elbows fold, and that folds the fingers right in against the body.
So and that's then, how I can get that skinny.
That's how they get that skinny, yeah.
Okay. Well, and, what and about then its feet? Just, does it have feet?
It does. And the skin that goes from the tip of its pinky goes down to about the ankle.
Ah, so there's not only between the elongated fingers, but then between the...
All along the body.
Okay. Okay.
And the little Mexican
so like
free
a,
tails.
So like a cape that's been glued down to your backside.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the little free tails wings are narrow.
Mm-hmm.
So think peregrine falcon or jet plane.
Okay.
Adaptation for speed. These guys are the little speed demons.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fast.
Fast. They can go 50 to 60 often. They've been tracked up to 99 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Really fast little guys.
Okay. So I want to get back to this whole the girls hang out with the boys or not.
Yeah, so, the females hang together in the summer. They hang out with the guys in the winter.
So are the females in the summer, when they get here and they're going to come here for the summer, are they pregnant?
Maybe. They are, they mate in the winter.
Uh-huh.
But that embryo isn't going to actually start the development until the springtime when the insect load is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about a 90-day gestation.
Okay, so if I am understanding you correctly, we have boys and girls, and the boys do their things with the girls, and they the sperm impregnates the egg, because these are mammals, and then the egg just sits there and doesn't do much
until spring.
It's time to divide and make a baby.
Right.
So they can delay the growth of the baby for a while.
That's right. It takes a lot of energy to grow a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're dependent on nature...
You want to make sure you're at a smorgasbord.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not actually as uncommon in mammals as humans tend to think.
But it doesn't happen in people.
It doesn't happen in people. We're not dependent on the seasons in the same way.
Well, that's because we're doing our own food thing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so other mammals? Like what?
Oh, bears.
They have
delayed implantation or hold some bunnies hold... They can hold the sperm and not have
to develop. They're holding the sperm separate from the egg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about it, what exactly they do. I know bunnies can hold the sperm. I don't know if exactly at what point that delay starts for the bat.
Because I'm thinking that once the sperm and the egg combine, that zygote is something that would be difficult to hold.
It's not very big.
I know, but making it not...
I'm going to have to
not divide and grow would be a little more challenging than physically keeping the sperm and egg separate. Because, I mean, as long as you keep the two alive, you can just not mix them.
That's just true.
Hmm.
I have to look that up.
Bunnies have their own sperm bank?
Oh, my goodness. Bunnies are amazing.
I'm going to have to get a rabbit person on.
Yes.
Do you know any bunny ladies that can come and talk?
No.
Okay. We'll work on that. Oh, my. We're getting off topic, aren't we? Okay, so, Corky, what's your last name?
Quirk, which is where I got the nickname Corky.
Oh, because you were quirky.
I was.
And nobody could spell
it slurred.
So they said Corky.
Yep.
Okay.
Way back in junior high.
What did your mom call you before that?
Mary Jean.
Mary Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go by Mary Jean?
Not much.
Yeah.
Very few.
Just
the bank.
Legal documents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I always figure if somebody's got a name like Corky, they should use it for everything, including legal documents. And that's because I do genealogy. And when you're looking for somebody, you know, and it's Frank, but his real name was, you know, George Henry, you're never going to find Frank. So I always wish that people had, you know, that the legal documents would do their real names instead of their formal names. So who knows? Anyway. Okay, back to the bats. So we've got a whole bunch of girls hanging out here for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when do they come? You said for the summer. Do they come in spring? Or
they
before
come in spring?
Spring.
So we're at the early part of migration right now. I'm mm-hmm. getting lots of calls from people who say, the bats have moved into my house. Or a bat shows up in an inappropriate place, like the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because when they return, they may not find their last year's home available.
And we're talking right now at the beginning of April. So this is early April that this show is being recorded.
And they're looking for a place. Now, the bats that come to the causeway is there. They don't have an issue. But if your neighbor had bats living in their attic last year,
mm-hmm.
They may have had some work done over the winter,
and
maybe that
off.
Home isn't available.
Well, then the bats are going to look. Now, can mm-hmm. bats live in redwood trees under the bark?
There are bat species that do live under the bark of redwood trees in hollows. We even have a species that visits here spring and fall, migrates mm-hmm. through, that hangs like a little pine cone out on the tree branches.
Really?
And people don't see it because of camouflage.
Wow.
But they're there.
Wow, how big are they?
They're much bigger. They are about, if you think of some curving your hand, they would fit in the palm of your hand.
Wow.
So they're a good-sized bat with about an 18-inch wingspan.
What color?
They're multicolored.
So pine cone color.
They are pine cone colored. They're beautiful.
What are they called?
Hoary bats, for the hoarfrost coloring of their fur.
Hoary,
H-O-A-R-Y.
Mm-hmm. Hoary, okay.
Yeah. Beautiful bat.
Going to be able to make some kind of pun with Hoary Potter, but I'm not quite sure what it's going to be. We'll have to get it.
We'll work on that.
Okay, so...
So the girls come. They are going to all be here by June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of slowly migrate in, depending on weather, mm-hmm. Depending on insect load.
And so then the insects come out in
May. There's insects here.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I mean, in May, there's a lot of insects.
There's going to be a lot more, and then there'll be more bats.
So then the ladies are going to go, oh, I think it's time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to grow a baby. How long does it take to grow a baby?
It's about a 90-day gestation, and they give birth the end of June.
Okay.
This species.
Okay.
We have some that give birth in May,
mm-hmm.
Some earlier in June, mm-hmm. and then... These guys are our latest.
Okay, so I'm familiar with birds, like, mm-hmm. you know, robins and linnets and, you know, lots of birds. And they make a nest and they have their baby, they lay their eggs, they hatch the babies, they feed the babies while they're in the nest. And, okay, well, bats don't have nests.
No, they don't.
So, so this poor little baby is born. Is it born naked and blind like people, or is it born... eyes open and ready to go, or what?
Most of our species, the babies are born furless. Their eyes open soon,
mm-hmm.
And their toenails on their toes, the mm-hmm. little claws, are mm-hmm. like Velcro. And so they stick, and they can stick to mom's fur. They can stick to the cement in structures or wood or whatever it is. Some species can carry their pup, we call them pups, for the first time period, first few days or so. The little Mexican free tails, their babies are big compared to mom.
Mm-hmm.
So they live in these very big colonies. Each mom has one baby and she leaves her baby with all the rest of the pups. And then the pups
There's a
hang
puppy
out.
Pile.
It is a big puppy pile. They hang on to each other and the cement.
My goodness. I hope nobody lets go.
Yes, it's a problem if somebody lets go because there's always hungry critters crawling around underneath roosts.
Yeah.
But that is part of nature, sadly.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, hey.
Everything has to eat.
If every baby born grew up to be an adult in the world... We would be overrun with so many species
Absolutely.
That it would be just amazingly difficult
it
to
move. It
would
be crowded, yes.
Yeah.
One baby once a year
mm-hmm.
with about a 25% survival.
Mm-hmm.
So they're...
And how long do the moms live?
Yeah, so an adult Mexican free tail might live 10 to 15 years. If they make it through that first.
But she's not going to have babies every year. Isn't she going to
stop?
Doesn't she have menopause like we do?
Probably, but we don't really know. That hasn't been figured out at what point they stop reproducing.
Mm-hmm. So let's assume she's 2 years old, she can start having a pup, mm-hmm. and maybe for 6 years she has pups, and then by then she's, forget that. So that's 6 years worth of, and there's a 25% survival rate, so that's 1.5.
It's easier if you say she lives 10 years.
Uh-huh. And
has her first
for
baby
eight.
At two. She has her first, so 8 pups.
Mm-hmm. And 2 will live.
2 will survive. She'll replace herself and the male. And the colony size
stays
stable.
Are they couples? Are they one male, one female?
No. It's sort of 1960s for the free tails.
So one male and 16 females?
They'll have maybe a little harem. Maybe the females will even move around between the males.
Okay, so that means that it's slowly increasing then. Because if you're doing 2 as a replacement for he and she, but he's got more than one of her.
Yeah, but there's also a bunch of guys hanging out that don't have anybody.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 60s. I got it. Yeah. For those of you who are too young to know the 60s, just ignore this part.
Yeah. So they very slow to reproduce. Now, of course, we'll have some that are more successful, mm-hmm. that'll live longer, reproduce longer. Mm-hmm. We'll have some, of course, that don't survive as long.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that the colony size stays about the same. So if something devastating happens to a colony, that colony may never recover.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it does, it's going to take more than the human lifespan.
Right, right. So generally, okay, so like people, I'm born, I grow up, maybe I have kids, maybe I don't. I get to a point where I'm not going to have any kids anymore. I get old, I get decrepit, I die.
Mm-hmm.
That's natural, normal human life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm born, I grow up, I haven't had my kids yet, and I'm in a car crash. Cut that one short.
That's right.
So with bats, are most of the bats that die, dying of, because it's their lifespan and their you know, they get older and they get, it's time to go. Or are most of them predated? Are they hunted? Are they being killed by something, a hawk or a cat or whatever?
The healthy bats that make it through that first year,
mm-hmm.
It's really hard for predators to get them.
Right, because they're flying around and they're hanging
in crevices.
They're fast. They
hide in crevices. Their survival rate is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
As they get older, it's harder to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our joints don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So the weaker are going to be more likely to be taken by a predator.
Mm-hmm.
It's more human issues that really cause the bigger problems for...
You mean people killing them?
People either directly killing them because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Our pets taking them.
Mm-hmm.
Or things that we do.
Habitat use,
destruction, wind turbines.
So pesticide use, why would anybody be spraying bats?
They're not spraying the bats, they're spraying the insects.
Why? How can they spray an insect that moves too fast?
Aerial spraying.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, depending on what chemicals are used, some will affect the bat. And some won't. Not all insects die just because they get sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
And certain chemicals can affect the brain of the bat. And just like the bees, cause them to have a hard time tracking.
Mm.
If you can't track your food, you can't catch it. You become weak. You either die from starvation, or you die because a predator got you because
you're
weak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the...
And then,
what about people using pesticides in their garden?
It also reduces the food supply,
right?
Right, and pesticides. Like I said, there are different kinds of pesticides,
right?
But in general,
pesticide just means something to kill something you don't want. That's what a pest is,
right? And some are more likely to affect other parts of nature,
okay.
And some affect us.
So, what is the if you could tell listeners who do use chemicals in their yard, one pesticide to avoid, what
would you say? The neonicotinoids are the ones that seem to affect the tracking.
Okay. Neonicotinoids.
Neonicotinoids, sorry. Yes.
No, that's okay. Uh-huh. And does it have a common name?
That I have to look at packages.
Okay. And a neonicotinoid is used for what purpose in general?
In general, it's used for killing insects. And
so, like, if someone had aphids on the roses, is that the kind of use we're talking
it's
about?
It's usually garden food, you know, so your tomatoes, your...
I wouldn't eat neonicotinoids.
No, but we do.
That's not a good thing to have in your brain.
No.
It's not, I mean, bats are mammals.
They
and are. If it's affecting their brains, it's affecting our brains. I mean, we're mammals too.
We are mammals too. And we have a lot of chemicals on our foods that
yeah,
are not
that's
healthy
why
for us.
Eating organic is much better.
Yes.
Yes.
Or
and difficult.
Have a whole lot of bats at your house.
Well, still, you don't want to spray stuff.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, then you won't have to worry as much about the insects.
Yes, if you're growing your own food.
If you're growing food. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So something like the rice that grows out there by the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow causeway, the farmer that leases there doesn't use insecticides.
That's good.
It is excellent. And he also has no problem with the little insect called the army worm.
Because he's got bats.
Because he has bats. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's a lot of bats.
It is a lot of bats.
And I'm assuming that they use a lot of energy because they're flying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably need a lot of food. So where is the bats' food coming from? What do they eat? What kinds of stuff and that sort of thing?
So in the spring when they arrive, they do eat a lot of our mosquitoes, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But as the season changes and there's more moths available,
mm-hmm.
these free-tailed bats are going to move on to the moths. And
moths come out at night and bats fly
absolutely.
At night. So there you go.
Absolutely. And being a fast bat and one that can go a long distance, they spread out. And
mm-hmm.
so they're not solely hunting the insects right there. They go all through the valley. And they can hunt very high, too. So they can also take off the migrating moths that fly up using the upper winds.
Migrating moths?
Yes. Yes, moths migrate just like butterflies migrate.
Moths? What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
And there are some.
What?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got to make your movements along.
Okay, so I always thought that a moth was just a short-lived temporary stage for one caterpillar to make another.
Well, just like butterflies.
Yeah.
But butterflies also migrate.
Well, some do.
Some do, yeah.
Yeah.
And some moths do.
Okay. And the moths don't overwinter where they are?
The ones that we tend to be concerned about in the United States are the moths that migrate to Central America to the United States. And they make long-distance migrations. They do hit a very nice line of these free-tailed bats when they come into Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's our border patrol.
They are. They're the moth border patrol. They eat
mm-hmm.
a tremendous amount of the moths that eat corn, cotton, tobacco, other large crop pests.
Row crops, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're helping to protect not only the crops that grow in the southern part of the U.S., but they're actually helping the Midwest farmers.
Right.
Because they stop those moths before they get there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope a lot of people down there are putting up bat houses.
I hope so, too.
If somebody's listening and they wanted to make a bat house, I'm going to ask you in a little bit about how to do that. But in the meantime, it is almost time for me to do the stuff that I do every time. Oh, Don left me with a couple of sweet peas, and
mm-hmm.
they're wonderfully scented. So thank you, Don. I
oh,
do the Davis
beautiful.
Garden Shore, Davis Garden Show from noon till 1 with Don Shore. And we always have a good time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of other things that happen here at the station. So let me first tell you about some community activities. Every time we do one of these shows, we always do announcements. And here's mine for, here we go. Heidrick Ag History Center. Heidrick, spelled H-E-I-D-R-I-C-K. Ag History Center is in Woodland. It introduces visitors to the marvels of agriculture and trucking through 130,000 square feet of interactive, one-of-a-kind exhibits. The cornerstone of the center is the world's largest and most unique collection of antique agricultural equipment. For visitor, volunteer, or membership information, call 530-666-9700 or online go to aghistory.org. And I've been up there, and I can tell you that it is well worth a trip. If you have folks visiting from out of the country, this is a great place to take them. Of course, the best place to take them would be the Arboretum, my personal favorite. But other than that, lots of places around here. And a couple more announcements. We are recording this in April of 2018. If you are around on April 7th, that's a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., at the Davis Senior Center is going to be the Vinyl and Music Fair. It's sponsored by Armadillo Music and KDVS. That's the radio station on campus. Free admission. Vendors from all over California will be selling records, CDs, cassettes, music, memorabilia, and more. Again, Senior Center. All right, and we have a catered alert. This is for the second Friday Art About. That happens every month in Davis on the second Friday. And KDRT teams up with Armadillo Music, and we stream live their concert. They do a concert at Armadillo. And this particular one, which is going to be Friday, April 13th, 2018, starting at 6:30 p.m., live on stage at Armadillo Music will be The Outcome, a four-piece rock band from Sacramento. And if you want more information about that, you can always go to kdrt.org and look at the information there. All right. Anything else I need to say? Yes. Archives are at kdrt.org. Shows are there. Some of us have blogs. You can leave comments for us. You can always find out how you can make a donation. If you want to help with the station somehow, write to info@kdrt.org or fill out one of the forms there on the website. Lots of stuff, lots of ways. And because April 21st is going to be picnic day, you can join the KDRT float if you would like to. You can help us build it if you would like to. Again, KDRT is info. Email is info@kdrt.org. Very easy to remember. If you aren't doing any of that stuff and you just want to look at for us, if you're going to be going on the parade, look for that big radio tower on the trailer, and that'll be us. So I'm going to have fun doing that one. All right, back to the show. You are listening to That's Life with Lois Richter, and my guest today is Corky Quirk. Or Quirky Cork, or something like that. And we are talking about bats. Yes, I know, bats. Not bats in the belfry, but bats in the bypass.
Bats in the bypass. Absolutely.
That's a great title.
It is,
yes. So Mexican free-tail bats, and they're called free-tail because?
Because they have a long tail that sticks out longer than the skin between their legs.
Okay.
Now, all of our bats have a tail. And normally, or for the average bat species, the skin at their ankle goes to the tip of their tail and then back up to the other ankle.
Okay.
But the free-tailed bat can scoot that skin up and down their tail. So they can scoot it out and make it like a V, like the average bat.
Uh-huh.
Use it as a rudder when they're flying or use it to catch an insect in flight. But they also can then scoot that skin back up, just have that long tail sticking out, and reduce drag and adaptation for speed.
For speed.
Yeah. These guys are amazing.
Do they, you said that they come, that the ladies come here for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
How far do they go?
You know, we don't really know how far our bats go. The bats that live here in Davis. Some don't leave.
Do they go?
Stay all year.
So do the Mexican free-tailed bats live north of us as well?
Or is this as far north as they go? They top out at the Oregon border.
Oh, okay. Up to Redding.
Yeah, there are some that'll go just over, especially closer to the coast. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a totally different climate, though.
Yeah, you get much farther than that, and it's just colder than they like.
Right.
But
our bats like the wide open spaces with agricultural lands and all of those moths and bugs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do they like living in forests?
Not this species.
No. I didn't think so.
No. There are bats in forests.
Right.
But not this kind.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys are open land. Many are in caves and mines, bridges, human structures.
Are they fairly small compared to the relative size of proportions of different bats? Or
actually,
they're
considered medium.
Medium? Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say maybe like a peregrine falcon, medium-sized hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
do we have a kestrel kind of bat? Smaller than this?
We absolutely. We have several species that are just tiny.
And fast?
Not as fast. They're generically kind of called little brown bats.
Little brown bats, mm-hmm. Okay.
Although there is an actual species, little brown bat, because it's kind of difficult to tell, kind of like think of sparrows. There's different types of sparrows.
Little brown birds, yes, I know.
Right.
Little
brown
birds, yeah.
Uh-huh.
LBBs.
Yep. So we have a California. Mm-hmm. California bat is one of our local little brown bats. And it's more, a Mexican free-tailed bat weighs 10 grams.
Okay.
That's about a third of an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
A California bat weighs about 5 grams.
5 grams?
Yes.
That is not only smaller than my little finger, it's smaller than I can think of.
Yes, it's very small. It's a couple peanut M&Ms.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how big a wingspan has that got?
Oh, about 6 inches, 7 inches.
My goodness.
They look like supersized moths. Yeah.
So
they're eating the little guys. Those are your mosquito, gnat, midge specialists.
How about aphids? Or do they only take flying
they're
things?
They're taking flying insects. There is a species that takes ground insects, but it's a bigger bat, so it won't eat aphids either.
Huh. I guess I'll have to rely on the yellow-rumped warblers.
Mm. Yeah. And your ladybugs.
That's true. That's
which
true. For the small bats. I mean small aphids.
Mm-hmm. Bats don't eat ladybugs. Do you know why?
Then they're polite. I mean, it would be impolite to eat a lady.
It would be.
They also probably taste bad.
Wrong time?
Ah.
Yep, diurnal versus nocturnal. Yeah.
Ladybugs are day bugs and bats are night bugs. Night bats. Bats aren't birds.
They're mammals.
Dogs. Bats aren't cats. Bats aren't bears. Bats aren't. What are the closest thing a bat's related to?
Hedgehogs species and shrews.
Shrew, a flying shrew. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
Insect eating, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot we don't know. We don't know for sure what the connection is, what species or what even order for sure that they're closer to. But they seem to be, by DNA, hedgehogs and shrews.
And bats.
And bats are, yeah. Bats are, though, in an order of their own.
Right. Well, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, what other flying mammals do we have?
Reindeer on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Squirrels, if they jump from tree to tree.
Yeah, but they glide. And
they're
a rodent.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, a squirrel's not a rodent.
Squirrel is a rodent.
Squirrel's a mammal.
It is a mammal.
Okay. All right. See, that's what I was going for. Mammal.
It is a mammal.
Oh, I think I have a prejudice against rodents.
Well, you know, half of the types of species of mammal in the world are rodent of some kind.
We don't want to hear that.
Beavers?
Yeah.
Squirrels, okay. Chipmunks?
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay.
Bunnies.
Bunnies are the only redeeming rodent.
It's not a rodent?
It's a lagomorph. Sorry.
Okay, all right, great. I can stop.
I know, but they're very close.
Rodents. But they have the teeth. They have the buck teeth.
They're very close to rodents, but they're not quite right.
You're right. Tell that to the Easter Bunny. You're not quite right. You're laying eggs. No, you're not. No, bunnies don't. No, bunnies don't do. All right. You can have an exception.
Just like Christmas Eve.
Well, yeah. There's always exceptions.
That's right.
That's right. What do you want to talk about, Corky? I mean, we've
talked about I'd like to talk about the tours.
Let's do that.
People in the summer, we get lots of guests of residents and people that even journey to us so that they can see the bats.
But you have that diurnal nocturnal problem because people are out in the daytime and bats are out at night.
It's true. So we do our programs at night. So I work the swing shift in the summertime and lead the tours out at the Yolo Bypass for the Yolo Basin Foundation. And people often think, oh, my goodness, July in the summer in the valley is just too hot to be outside.
But in the daytime it is, but not at night.
Well, we get the Delta breezes.
Yeah.
And we're in the shade of the causeway.
And it's night. You don't need shade. The sun's not up.
You've been outside at 8 o'clock on a
summer
night?
Well, you didn't say 8 o'clock. You said night.
Oh, well, 8 o'clock's night.
No, it's not. It's not dark by 8 o'clock.
Well, okay.
Anyway, your program starts before it gets dark.
Our program starts
and stays until after the bats have flown.
Yeah, so in June we start at 6:45, July 6:30, and slowly it begins to move a little earlier. A little earlier. We start earlier because sunset moves earlier.
Wait a minute.
After we hit the solstice, sunset starts coming earlier.
Complications.
We go till mid-September, so we have about 3 months or so. And
do these happen every month or every week or every day?
We'll have about 25 evenings scattered between the middle of June and the middle of September.
Okay.
They're not any particular rhythm to them.
Okay.
That way, if you have a, you know, every Tuesday night commitment,
you can still go
on
a Wednesday.
You can still find one. That's right. Yeah.
And are most of these open, or are most of them structured or scheduled? Like this is going to be the tour for 15-year-olds, and this is the tour for 5-year-olds, or
most
or
are just
this is for
the
a family club.
Friendly
just
event.
Open,
open to anybody.
Okay.
We do sometimes get small children. It is kind of a long event.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3 hours.
Are you walking all the time? Or
Most of the time we're sitting. We start at our headquarters building. Mm-hmm. We do about a 45-minute program.
That's indoors on seats.
It is in an air-conditioned room. And we do a combination of seeing the live bats that that are not releasable because of injuries. So these are not wild bats that we went out and caught.
Right.
They're ones that were injured
and brought into care.
They're rescue bats.
Yeah.
And PowerPoint. And then we caravan. And so people get back into their cars and we form a big line and we drive through the Yolo Bypass Wildlife Area. And that takes us 20-25 minutes because we're getting ourselves all the way to the east side. So we're driving through the rice. We get to see a lot of birds and plants and things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get ourselves stationed just south of the causeway.
And this is just before dusk.
And yes, so that is, it varies. Those ladies in July are very, very hungry. So they actually fly before the sun goes down.
Ah.
Yeah. So we get ourselves out there, get out of the cars, gather, and position ourselves to be able to watch them when they do exit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they exit for 15 or 20 minutes. Takes them a while.
No, there's a lot of them in there.
There are a lot of them in there. And once it gets dark, we get back into our cars and we caravan our way back out.
So we keep talking about the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the gents? Where are the gents hanging
out? Yeah, so the guys are in smaller groupings. There are some groupings under the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
But also they may be the ones that are in a bat house, or they might be the ones that are gathering under eaves. And some of them probably don't bother returning from where the wintering grounds, just like we have some bats
that stay here.
Well, if
you've already had sex and gotten the baby started, why do you need to bother going up there? You can
and
just
there's
going to
be some insects.
Yeah.
The pup needs the heat.
Yeah.
And the mothers need the higher quantity of insects.
Right, right.
Yeah. Our tours
are... And, of course, the ladies are going to want to gather up together so that they can make those puppy piles.
Yes, absolutely.
You wouldn't want to have your pup in somebody's attic if there's only one of you.
Not if you're a free-tailed bat.
Right.
You might if you're a different species, but not these guys.
So in the Arboretum, if you walk along the path that where California Avenue goes over the little creek there, and up under the embankment, there's an area tucked back in there. I know there are bats there. Do you know what kind those are?
Actually, I'm not sure they are still there.
Oh.
Because of the construction when they repaired that.
Oh.
They might have returned.
I used to see them when I was doing Darcent work over there, and that was probably 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. So at that point, they were Mexican free-tailed bats, even though the sign said something different.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There was a sign?
There was a sign. They called them Yuma bat, which maybe there had been Yuma bats in there at some point, or maybe the free-tails shared. Because it's not uncommon for free-tails to share with anybody. They're very social.
1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
They love everybody.
Yep.
I also wanted to mention that our tours are handicap accessible because sometimes people aren't sure if they're mobility limited.
Right.
And we have a lot of people over the year that come out, some in wheelchairs, some with walkers, some that bring along a folding chair with them because they can't stand for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's all fine.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that you're going to be in your building and then you're going to be in the car that you came in, into caravan, though I imagine a bunch of people will carpool, so you have
fewer things. We also try to, when we can, utilize the Department of Fish and Wildlife's 15-passenger van.
Yeah.
So we, you know, can...
Take a few, actually, instead of having 15 cars or singletons. Yeah, That makes sense. Okay. That's during the summer, and you actually go out there. Mm-hmm. Do you do programs during the school year? Like, do you go to the schools and talk to people about bats?
I do that through a different organization, through Northern California Bats, or NorCal Bats. And we go into schools and libraries and festivals and things. We've been at picnic days some years. This year we're not, but some years we are. Happens to be Earth Day, picnic day this year, so I had to make some choices. So that's also fun.
What about Whole Earth Festival?
You know, I haven't been to the Whole Earth Festival with the bats, which would really be a good thing to do.
Yeah. Well, education booth.
Absolutely.
Educational.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we've only got a few minutes left, and is there anything non-bat related that you'd like to tell me? Like, like your plans or stuff?
So we have tours also with the Yolo Basin Foundation out there in the bypass if people are interested in birds and plants and what is that floodway all about and things of that sort. Also with the bats, I wanted to mention we will have a couple of programs aimed at very young children that'll be daytime programs.
Oh, that's good.
Because not all little kids can come out and watch the bats at night, but might still want to meet the live bats, and we call it Bats and Crafts. I mentioned the Bat House building, Bats and Brews, where with Sudworks. So lots of different things going on. At our local wildlife area. And I'm amazed at how many people don't even realize you can go in on your own, too.
The headquarters are there where you have your classroom. But then the entire Yolo Basin area is open even when the headquarters is closed.
That's
so
right.
If you go in on the weekend.
Sunrise
just
to sunset.
Go on Childs Road. That's the frontage road just south of I-80 there. And keep going. And when it ends and is going to turn and go underneath the freeway, don't. Go up that little gravel driveway to the levee and turn to your left, and there you are. And it's open sunrise to sunset
7 days a week, and currently it's free.
Yeah.
So we don't know if that'll be forever, but right now it is, and it's a wonderful opportunity.
And there's lots of other groups that do tours. So, for example, the Audubon does a tour out there frequently. Various folks will do things.
Hiking groups sometimes go out. Photography groups, painting groups.
And you can go out on your
groups.
Own. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People go on their own.
There are even places, there are little parking lots. Don't park on the road, please. But there are several little parking lots where you can go, and then you can walk on a hiking trail that goes in.
And picnic tables.
Yeah.
People also fish out there.
Yep.
Lots of public land use.
Yes. And, of course, it is managed by Fish and Wildlife, and that means that there are hunting situations and hunters, so be careful. And
during waterfowl season.
Yeah, during waterfowl season.
Right now, there isn't hunting out there. Mm-hmm. And when there is, there's signs.
Oh, yes.
So that we don't
have
to, you don't have to worry.
Very well marked, yeah. Okay, so we're getting close to the end. Close to the end. Arboretum. Anything with the arboretum and bats?
Oh, well, the bats, of course, are around and out there and hunting, and they utilize the creek. They drink.
But is the arboretum got a bat program?
Not that I know of, but we will be there.
My dear, I am a docent to the Arboretum, and I think that you and I should do
that would be fun.
Bat program sometime for them. So maybe we'll talk later
and
try and get something worked up and then make a proposal.
We'll be out there for Wild Family Day, which is...
Wild Family Day? Never heard of it.
Oh, Wild Family Day is run by one of the clubs at the university. And they bring out many of the university groups to educate the families about nature. And
where is it held?
At the Arboretum.
The Arboretum is 3 miles long. Is it held?
It's held...
what?
It's held at the end near the what used to be the Borders parking lot.
Okay. Yes. All right. So that's the A Street Railroad crossing... area.
Yeah, there's a name for that, but I don't remember it.
That's okay.
With the big shovels?
Yeah.
You know,
Davis behind Davis Commons. And Davis Commons is the name of that little mall there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Are you going to keep doing this, or have you got plans to be doing something else soon?
I do not have plans to retire.
Well, I didn't say retire. But you know, sometimes your things shift.
Yeah, life sometimes shifts, but at this point, I am very much enjoying, I spend my school year educating the kids at the Yolo Basin Foundation about wetlands and birds, and my summertime with the bats, and then I'm part-time with Yolo Basin Foundation, so the other part-time, I'm with Northern California Bats, taking them out. Mm-hmm. I get to be around children, and they help keep me going.
Excited, yes.
Absolutely.
I got to tell you, if you haven't figured that out from just listening to her voice, this is one excitable lady.
I don't sit still real well.
This is. She doesn't have to. There goes that bat. There's gone again.
Me and my bag of bats, we travel.
Yeah. Okay, well, you have been listening to KDRT LP 95.7 in Davis, California. This is Lois Richter, and the program is That's Life. My guest today is Corky Quirk, who is the Bat Lady of Davis. You are of Davis, aren't you?
I am.
How long have you been doing this?
Since 2004.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what'd you do before that?
Raised my kids.
Oh.
So I took off about 10 years off of outside employment and stayed home and...
And before
raised
that,
kids.
When you were in outside employment?
I worked for Camp Fire Boys and Girls and did their outdoor
so
education program.
So you've always done kid things
I have done
and
kids
teaching
and
things.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
Since junior high.
Wow.
One way or another. Wow. Volunteer or professional, yes.
Wow. That's a commitment.
It is.
But you know, as long as you're doing something you love, it doesn't ever get old.
It doesn't, really doesn't. And the future generation is what I'm depending on.
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
I'm hoping...
Unfortunately, we all are.
I'm hoping that some of them will care about the world and the natural world around us.
All right. So reviewing, where do they go to get information? What's the name of the website?
YoloBasin.org.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd look for Bat Talk and Walk.
All right. Or YoloBasin.org and look for anything else, Bird Talk and Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a Facebook and a tweet. And is there any place where there's do you publish? Like, do you have a list that one can get on to get sent announcements?
Is there a club we have a you mailing can join list.
Or a friends Absolutely. Of the?
We use volunteers heavily. Yolo Basin Foundation have. I use at the Bat Talk and Walks about 4 volunteers an evening.
All right, there you go. You can come and you can hang out with this lady and have the most fantastic time, and get to see bats.
Absolutely.
So, how does one volunteer?
Again, the yolobasin.org website, and we have a whole page about all of our volunteer opportunities, leading bird walks, working with the school kids, doing the bat program, special events, all kinds of stuff.
So if you're not a really outgoing public kind of person, do you have any things that someone can do? Like, you know, for the Arboretum, you can be one of the plant propagators where you're planting seeds and you're doing stuff that doesn't require you to be so verbal.
Sure. We have volunteers that come and work in our office, do computer work or help with mailings, things of that sort. We have volunteers that come and help us with cleanup days, you know, when we're working on the demonstration area, trying, you know, and people that do small construction projects for us, all kinds of stuff that
goes on. Who coordinates the volunteers? Is there a particular person to talk to?
Chelsea Hopkins is our volunteer coordinator, and her information is, again, all there.
Okay. I'm trying to stretch this out for another minute and a half.
Oh, okay.
What, you want to sing campfire songs?
You think bats eat bugs? They don't eat people?
Oh, that's a good thing. I don't know that song.
You don't know that? Oh, Banana Slug String Band out of Santa Cruz.
Maybe next time you come on, hopefully, which will be hopefully next year, maybe you can bring a copy of that and we can play that as our outgoing song.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah,
that would be
kind of fun.
Yeah.
So let's see. I already did that, and I did that, and I did that, and we talked about that. And what else am I supposed to say?
Well, you know, people also sometimes come on their own and view the bats.
That's true.
You can get right over the levee, like you talked about. There's a nice small colony on the west end that people come and view.
Okay. You park in the first parking lot and go through that little metal gate and look up.
Yes. Yeah. Or park on the outside because we do close at sunset.
Oh, that's true. So you'd park on the levee.
So people park on the outside and walk in.
That would make
in,
sense.
Well,
wait a minute. If it closes at sunset, how can you have after sunset events?
Well, that's because we're special.
It's a special event. And once you're in there, you're with the group and you're not wandering around on your own.
Right.
They unlock the gate to let you out.
And it does lock. So, yeah. There is. Once you're on the tour, you have to stay with the tour and be with us the whole time.
Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate your
Thanks
coming
Thanks for having
back.
Me.
Yeah, it
Absolutely.
Was fun. It was fun. That was Corky Quirk, the Bat Lady of Davis. This is Lois Richter, KDRT 95.7, and I hope you had a good time. I hope you'll come back some other time. Every Thursday at 1, I'll be here. My program is replaying every Sunday at 3. Bye-bye.